Isn't it amazing that God also sees us as saints? I was at a service once and the minister greeted the congregation and said, "Good morning, sinners. Good morning, saints. I see we're all here." Our scripture reading this morning, I changed the verses just a little bit, but we're going to read from Matthew chapter 10, still page 1387 in the Pew Bible. We're going to start reading at verse 26, and we'll read through the end of 31. Matthew 10, starting at verse 26 through verse 31 and then 42. "So do not be afraid of them," Jesus speaking, "for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." And then verse 42. "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Dear congregation, he sure was lucky. She caught a lucky break. Lady Luck smiled down on him. You know Lady Luck, she stays a small while and then she's gone. Thank your lucky stars. Oh, luck and chance. Life is kind of like walking down the midway. You pays your money, you take your chance. Everybody wins. Well, not everybody. Life is really a crapshoot. You wonder what's going to happen. Catch all the breaks you can. It's all random. A lot of people live this way. A lot of people believe this. But counter to this view are those who talk about God's providence, that all things come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. It was the first question and answer of Lord's Day 10 that we read this morning as we did our call to worship responsively. And that addresses this in an objective way. It talks about the hand of God in our world. It really creates a personal image of our Heavenly Father. The Scripture often talks about the hand of God in our world. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 read this way, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hands," God's hands. Psalm 104 is a psalm that talks about God's providence for all created beings, the earth, all creatures, and us. And us. And then we sing about it. "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that your hand have provided." And Jesus said at the time of his death, as he was hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." To confess and profess God's providence means we believe that all things in people's lives and in nature are ruled by him. That our God is a God who personally rules this entire world. Is that an amazing thing to wrap your mind around? That our God personally rules everything in this world. Everything. Everything that's going on here this morning. Everything that's going on next door. Everything that's going on at Lee Street Christian Reformed. Everything that's happening in China. If you start to think about the details, it becomes mind-boggling. See, the biblical view is so different from the world or the secular view. In the worldly view, sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're not. You just kind of hope things fall your way. Humanists also believe in nature and Mother Earth as if they had their own power. But when we use the word creation versus nature or natural law, it changes our whole perspective on life. Mother Nature has no power of her own. Absolutely none. She has no power of her own. She too is governed by God in every respect. When we remember this, it gives us new eyes to see God's hand in the world around us, in the flowers, in the blades of grass, in the apple, in the cherries, in the ears of corn, in the rain and the snow, the hail and the sleet, the cold and the heat, in years of plenty and years of lean, whether we're sick or healthy. Nothing is left to chance with our Heavenly Father. And then we don't have to have any reason to be afraid. Just a small passage we read this morning. Three times the phrase was in there, do not be afraid. Proverbs 16:9 says it nicely. It says, a man's heart plans his course, but the Lord determines his footsteps. We control nothing, absolutely nothing. So how does knowing about this providence help us in our own lives? Well, sometimes life feels like this. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second, peacefully perched in his cage, just singing. The next one, sucked up, washed up, blown over. See, the problem began when his owner was going to clean the cage with a vacuum. She stuck the nozzle in to get some of those crumbs and feathers and other stuff on the bottom of the cage. And then the phone rang. Instinctively, she turned to pick it up, and she barely said hello when and Chippy was gone. She gasped, let the phone drop, grabbed the vacuum, unzipped the bag. There was Chippy. Still alive, but pretty stunned, covered with dust. She grabbed him, rushed to the bathtub, turned the faucet on full blast, and held Chippy under a torrent of ice-cold water, power washing him clean. Next, she did what any compassionate pet owner would do. She got the hairdryer and blasted the wet, shivering little bird with hot air. Chippy has no idea what happened. But he doesn't sing much anymore. What events happen to us where we feel like Chippy? And then how would it be if we had no assurance that there's a Heavenly Father who rules all things? And even in the middle of such what we would call catastrophe, gives a sense of security to sustain us when life feels that chaotic. God's providence is huge, and it has to be all or nothing. If God's providence was 90%, it would mean nothing, because we would never know what was outside of His providence and what He actually controlled. And we would be back to living by luck and chance. God's providence also doesn't give us the right to be fatalistic. In other words, where we said, well, let's set up some tables and chairs on Burton Street, God's providence, He'll protect us, and we'll enjoy some coffee. He's also given us wisdom. So we got to work with God. We work and we pray. We plant and we harvest. We submit and surrender our will to God. And this puts us back then in the area of God's rule and our free will. You've heard the saying before, Pray like it all depends on God. Work like what you do is important. And isn't that really a beautiful picture? That God wants us as co-workers in His vineyard. Do we help much? You know what? Realistically, we probably don't. I grew up on the farm with my dad as a little boy, 4, 5, 6. I was always tagging along. In my mind, I thought I was really helping him. I can't imagine what he thought, like, wow, how much I could have got done today if it wasn't for that little boy. And I often wonder if that's how it is with God. He just graciously lets us work in His vineyard. This is the God who could just speak it into being and change everything just by words. And here we think we're pretty important. And we are, because we're created in His image. And He's redeemed us. But we must never think that He needs us. To be able to work with Him is a privilege. Is a privilege, all part of His providence. So how does knowing about this providence help us? And that was question and answer 28 that we read as a call to worship. It instructs us, based on God's word, that we can be patient when things work against us. That when things are not going well, God is still in control. That's why last Sunday in Sunday school we talked about the book of Job. And that's why the book of Job is an important read. There's things going on in the cosmos we don't understand, we don't have a grasp of. But God is faithful. Things are never outside of His control. Now, the little story I told you, Chippy, of course, didn't know about that. But we do. We know about our loving Heavenly Father. And so when things work against us, we can be patient. And when things are really going well, then we can be thankful. And this builds trust and confidence in God that He is a faithful and loving Heavenly Father. He's not a God from far away or that's really distant. And you know, the most important thing is His love. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Always hang on to that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8 puts it this way. There's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And that's where Paul has that whole list about life and death and height and depth and all of that stuff. We are so secure in His grasp. Nothing can separate us. And then in Hebrews, we have this beautiful verse, God speaking. God says, Never will I leave you. What's one of the worst things in life that we deal with in relationships? It's abandonment. Abandonment. What if I'm in a relationship with somebody and they abandon me? They leave me. Everybody has that fear at some time. And God says, I will absolutely never, never leave you or forsake you. And then He says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I have nothing to fear. And then He adds, what can mortals do? In other words, other people really can't even hurt us because of a Heavenly Father who says, I'll never forsake you. So in this world, Jesus asks us to trust Him completely. And in our Matthew reading this morning, He asked, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Well, that tells you how much sparrows are worth. You need two of them to get a penny's worth. Sparrows were often used as food for very, very poor people. They are used as an example by Jesus saying that God is even aware of them. Sparrows, two to make a penny, or to sell for a penny. And God is aware of what happens to them. The Creator of the universe knows when one of them falls to the ground. In other words, when one of them dies, He knows. So every deer that is shot, every fish that is caught, every beaver that is trapped, every spider that is sapped. Sounds like Dr. Seuss, right? I just made that up. God is aware of it. Is that incredible stuff or what? That God is so omnipotent, all-knowing, that He knows all of these things everywhere. that our Heavenly Father not only knows about it, He cares about it. Well, if that's true for the things I just mentioned, then should there ever be a question in our mind that He cares and loves us that much? We are worth much more than a sparrow, or even two sparrows. And then Jesus takes it even further. He says, even the hair on your head is numbered. We always tease my dad, said, Dad, you wore your hair three ways, parted, unparted, departed. Now, sparrows are not worth much. But you know what? Your hair is even worth less. And God numbers the hairs on your head. There is nothing that He is not involved in. Absolutely nothing that He is not involved in. There isn't anything so small that God can't be bothered with it, and there is nothing so big that He can't manage it. Now, many people believe in God. They're really called deists. They believe there's a God, but not that He's intimately involved in our lives. They believe more God created the world a little bit like winding a watch, and then He said, just let it run, and then whatever happens, happens. That's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's not the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So people who are deists often, they don't believe God's involved in the ordinary things of life. Sickness and jobs, finances, dating, what to say, what not to say. Dealing with relationships, how to solve problems, how to spend money, where to go on vacation, all of that stuff. And so as Christians, we are called to acknowledge and look for and expect God to be involved in every area of our lives. Today is Installation Sunday, a special service within the life of the church body. And we thank Terry and Linda and Bud for their service. And we welcome Doug and Tim and Shannon and Larry. We look forward with eager anticipation to see where God is leading and what He is doing as they serve alongside Wes and Rick and Terry and Larry to see what God is doing for such a time as this. And this is also a special message to those serving on consistory. But it's really a message to all of us. We are all in this together. So how important are we in all of this? Well, there's a beautiful verse in John 15. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." We all have horrible memories sometime in our lives where they were picking teams and we weren't picked. Then to read a verse like this, you did not choose me, but I chose you. The God of the universe chose us, knows us by name and says, in essence, I pick you to be on my team. Better than that, I pick you to be in my family. He chose us for such a time as this. For what? To go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And then in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, Paul gives additional insights. This is what he says. It is God who gave some to be apostles, gave some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. For what purpose? To prepare God's people for works of service. It isn't that we've selected some elders and deacons and now it's up to them to get things done. Okay? We're all in this together. Actually, their role is more of a coach to prepare God's people, prepare the rest of the congregation for works of service. And why is that? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, that's where we grow in the faith, grow in the love and the knowledge of who Jesus is, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. The amazing thing about God is that He uses us to accomplish His purposes. Here's a biblical list of the type of people God employs. This is to keep us humble. Moses had a short fuse, Timothy had ulcers. Solomon was too rich, Abram was too old, David was too young. James and John sought special treatment. Paul was a murderer, Jonah ran away, Gideon and Thomas doubted, Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal, Elijah was burnt out, Zacchaeus was too short, Lazarus was dead. Do you see yourself in the list? God can use any of us for his purpose. If he could use those folks, is there any reason he can't use us? And most importantly, what he wants is a willing heart, open and ready to serve him. And what's the purpose of all of this? We just don't do this stuff to stay busy. We do this stuff to build up the body of Christ, to strengthen the church, to use our gifts and abilities in any way we can for the furtherance of his kingdom. That means there's work for all of us to do. Not just the elders, not just the deacons, not just the preacher. You know, Jesus says in Luke 12, to whom much is given, much is required. Eighth Reformed has really been blessed. We have been given much. We're also called to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. He never gives us all of this stuff so we can sit on it and kind of point to it and say, whoa, we are really blessed. When God pours out blessings, it's to use them for his honor and his glory. No one can deny that they have gifts. The scripture points to that. It says, everybody has gifts. And so if you know the scriptures and the plan of salvation, Jesus is real to you, there's no reason you can't come alongside of others and support them and encourage them and help them in their journey. See, everything we do out of service to him. We worship, we sing, we pray, we greet, we usher, we're in the choir, we play instruments, we're valet people, we vacuum, we're the head of the handing out bulletins, we send cards, we make phone calls, we visit, we attend Bible study, we encourage one another, we hold each other accountable, we befriend, we help out, we give financially. There's plenty for all of us to do. It's that verse about giving cups of cold water in his name. We've all been given different gifts. As office bearers, elders and deacons in the church, they have a special command to meet the needs, but not just to do it, but to equip others. Like I said, we are in this together. We're all on the team, God's team. And according to what we read in Ephesians 4, it's all to prepare us for works of service. Works of service in his kingdom. Remember last week we talked about the minas, right? We all have minas, all have gifts. We all have a calling. So what are we going to do with it? Going to really use it? Are we going to bury it or not want to do anything with it? We all have responsibilities to each other because we're family. And family looks after each other. So what do you want to do with your gifts? I hope you think about this. I hope you ponder it. Say, okay, what are the gifts I've been given? How do I plug in? Many times it's right here. Many times it's other places. But how is God going to use me? May this be a time when we recommit and rededicate ourselves to serving him. Regardless of where he has put us in his vineyard. There is nothing more exciting and there's nothing more dangerous than to pray, Lord, use me any way you want to. Father, we come to you and we thank you for these passages. One, you tell us that you're a providential God. You control all things. Then you remind us that we have a lot of value. Because of the one we belong to. And then that you want to be in this relationship with us and use us. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts in such a way that we would be excited about using our gifts to please you and to bless others. If there's anything I said that didn't please you, would you delete that from our hearts? And Father, all the rest, would you just inscribe it with indelible ink on our heart stone? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.